So glad Jim led that song for us this evening, This Is My Father's World. I thought we would take some time to reflect upon that beautiful hymn and think about the meaning of the words this evening. Let's open with Psalm 24 in verses 1 and 2 as we consider the title of this song, This Is My Father's World. In Psalm 24, David writes these words, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." This song was written by Maltby D. Babcock in 1901. That is the song, This Is My Father's World. And it was placed to a traditional English folk tune by Franklin L. Shepard. And it appears in many hymnals today. The title, This Is My Father's World, is certainly a biblical concept, as we just read in Psalm 24, verse 1. It talks about the earth belonging to God and everything in it and all the people in it belonging to Him as well. And so when we sing, This Is My Father's World, we're certainly singing a very biblical thought, because God owns everything. There's an interesting thought or line in that first stanza at the end, or in the middle. It says, "The music of the spheres." And maybe you've wondered what that refers to. Well, in the Pythagoras, the ancient Greek philosopher / mathematician, came up with a theory that the heavenly bodies produce music, and that the heavenly bodies sing in harmony with one another. And that theory persisted for thousands of years until just recent time. And even in the 1800s, there were many who believed in that theory. And the expression, "the music of the spheres," refers to that belief. Now, while we know today that the heavenly bodies aren't doing what the theory specifically suggests that they do, at the same time, it is a good metaphor for the orderly nature of the universe. And we can understand that expression today to talk about how God made a world, a universe, that is very orderly and predictable. And that's a very good thing for us, because if it were not predictable, then we would have a lot of trouble. Things just wouldn't go the way that we would expect them to go. And I'm just talking about physical things and physical laws of nature and stuff like that. I'm not talking about when people get involved, because that's not predictable at all. But anyway, so the music of the spheres, a very interesting expression that is found in this hymn. But as we look at the stanzas of this hymn, there are three stanzas, and I notice that the version in our songbook, the third stanza, is slightly different from the version that is in the older hymnals. And so we'll talk about that in just a moment. But there are basically three points that this particular song is trying to get across. First of all, God is the creator of all things, and we should praise Him for that. Listen to this stanza. "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought." So His hand created these wonders, is what he is singing about here in this first stanza. "And all of the things that are in the world give testimony," in a metaphorical way, that is, to God's creation. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Nehemiah, when he had returned from Babylonian captivity, said this to God, "You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you." Nehemiah 9 and verse 6. And so Nehemiah proclaimed that God is responsible for creating all things. And certainly that is the scriptural truth. When we think about this song, it's talking about his creation, and not only the creation, but also the orderly fashion of the creation. And that is something also that the Bible declares. Look at Isaiah 45 and verse 18. "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other." We would not be able to inhabit a world that was not created in an orderly way. Think about that for a moment. Suppose you had to live on Venus, for example, the planet I'm talking about, or Mars. Those are very inhospitable places to human life. They're not orderly at all, nor conducive to human life from our perspective. Of course, they do follow the physical laws of the universe. We're not doubting that or anything. But he formed the earth to be inhabited. It is a special place, a place where humans may exist. And not only the earth, but all things he formed so that we could inhabit the earth. Today, astronomers refer to something called the anthropic principle. I don't know if you've ever heard that concept or not. It's something I did some research on when I was in college. But the notion is that everything that exists, exists in such a way so that human life could flourish on the earth. And that's actually a real thing that is studied in science. It's not just something that you talk about in Bible college or something like that. I presented a paper on that when I was going to college in Austin. So that is a very interesting principle, and it's reflected right here in Isaiah 45 and verse 18. He formed it to be inhabited. And Job 38 and verses 4 through 7, God there is able to ask Job some significant questions about the creation. One of those is, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Job 38, 4 through 7. The morning stars sang together, the poetic book of Job declares. And I think that's a good reflection on the hymn itself. The music of the spheres certainly is a thought that is found here in Scripture also. So this hymn teaches, first of all, that God is the creator of all things. But then secondly, it teaches that God is glorified by all created things. And you may wonder about that statement because, you know, man sometimes refuses to glorify God. And certainly Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 1. But when all will be said and done, and God's final purposes are revealed and enacted, it will truly be the case that every single thing that has been created will glorify God. So we think about it in that sense, at least. The second stanza talks about how the creation glorifies God. "This is my Father's world. The birds, their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. So think about that for just a moment as we think about the creation. You know, everything that exists speaks about God. It has his fingerprint on it because he designed it, he created it, and he made it. Psalm 19 in verses 1 through 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." David, here in this psalm, is speaking metaphorically or in personification regarding the heavens and what they say and what they do in relationship to praising God. They declare God's glory. The expanse of the heavens shows God's handiwork, as if he were an artist creating beautiful things. Day unto day utters speech. That is, every day the heavens speak to us these truths. And night unto night reveals knowledge. And that language that the heavens speak, the psalmist is saying, extends to every single person in the world. Because there's not a single person who cannot look up at the sky and see the glorious sunshine, or look up at the stars at night and see the tremendous beauty. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, everyone can hear the voice of the heavens. And their line, as if the heavens were speaking praise of God in a poem, their line has gone through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And that is reflected also in this song. He speaks about the birds singing, and that is singing praise to God. The morning light, as it shines through, praises God. The white lilies that we see growing in the springtime, praise God. They declare their maker's praise. In everything that is fair, God shines forth. And even in the grass, we hear him pass, metaphorically speaking. Jesus said in Luke 12 and verse 27, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin," that is, work to make clothing for themselves, right? They don't toil, they don't spin a loom. But what did Jesus say about them? "And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." That's a great argument from design that Jesus is setting forth for the existence of God. He said, look at Solomon with all his wealth and his beautiful clothing that he wore, no doubt. Yet his clothing was nothing compared to the lilies of the field. And there are many other psalms that express the great truths about God being glorified by the things in the earth. Look at Psalm 148, for example. We even have a song in our songbook based on this particular song. Look at what this psalm says. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints of the children of Israel, a people near to him. And so everything is commanded in this psalm to praise the Lord, regardless of what it might be. And the song that we sing in respect to that, I'm struggling trying to remember the title of it. I didn't put it in my notes, but let them praises give Jehovah. Yes, for his name alone is high, right? Yeah, it's that particular song. So I'm sure Jim will come up with the title here. All right, another great psalm that praises the God for the creation is Psalm 139 and verses 14 through 16. And here he's talking specifically about human beings. And the psalmist says this, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." And so, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made," David says, and that is why we will praise God. Romans 1 verse 20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity." And what is that verse saying then? It's talking about how we can see God in the creation, which is exactly what this hymn is setting forth. So when we think about this hymn, first of all, it teaches us that God is the creator of all things. Secondly, it teaches us that God is glorified by all created things. And third, it teaches us that God is in control of all things. And that is sort of the last stanza of this song and the impact point, if you will, of what the writer is trying to get across. Think about this last stanza. He says, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget, that is, never forget, that though the wrong seems often so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is king. Let the heavens ring, God reigns, let earth be glad." And I think that's a tremendous point to think about in reference to God's control over all things. You know, as we think about the meaning of these lyrics, it's the case that we experience exactly what the songwriter is talking about here. The wrong seems so strong so often, and it's temptation that pulls us away. But we must remember that God is still in control. The wrong can seem strong in terms of the way that other people are behaving in society. The wrong can seem strong in terms of what the government may or may not be doing. The wrong can seem strong in what other countries do in this world. Yes, the wrong seems strong, but God is stronger. He is in control. He is the ruler, and this is his world. So the writer asks the question, why should my heart be sad? Why should I let the evil things in this world control how I feel about God and about who He is? No, I'm not going to give them that power over me. And you should not give them that power over you either. He proclaims here, the Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. And that's such a great and powerful point to end on. Psalm 22 and verse 28 says, the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over all the nations. Psalm 103 and verse 19 says, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Psalm 47 and verse 7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Daniel 4 and verse 32, the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. Romans 13 and verse 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And in Colossians 1 and verses 16 through 18, we read, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now God reigns over this earth. There can be no doubt about that. And the writer of this song reminds us of that very important point. When we read such passages from the Bible about God reigning over everything, it should fill us with joy and peace and gladness, knowing that God understands and that He is seeking to do everything that He can to make things right in this world. And so God reigns, and He is in control. Now, if you look at these three stanzas together, they form one tremendously powerful point. And that is this, that God created everything. And because He created everything, all things are going to reflect His purposes. And when that happens, we see His great control over this world. And those three things go together. Do we doubt that God is in control? Just remember that He is the Creator. Do we doubt that there are those in this world who may thwart the purposes of God? Just remember God's purposes cannot be thwarted. Everything will one day bend the knee before God. For we must all give an account of the things that we have done in the body, whether they be good or evil. Every knee shall bow before Him. So this hymn is a tremendous hymn, and it teaches us some great things. And let's think about the words that we sing when we sing these songs. Let's sing, as the scriptures say, with the spirit and with the understanding, knowing what it is we sing about. And let me just add this at the end of the lesson. If there is a particular song that you would like for me to teach about, I would be more than happy to discuss it with you and to think about the lyrics of these particular songs. And I'm grateful that we have such a complete and full hymnal that has a tremendous amount of songs in it by which we may scripturally worship the Lord. Let's embrace these songs that we have in our hymnals. They are tremendous songs. If you look and just, I was thinking about this before the lesson. You know, there's a lot of modern day music that doesn't have nearly the theological content that many of these old hymns have in them. And if you look back to the Psalms themselves, these inspired songs that are in the Old Testament, these songs are tremendous in their theology, and tremendous in helping us to understand about the human condition. The songs that are sung today, in the modern world, many of them, there's not all of them, I wouldn't say all of them are reflect this, but many of them are very shallow, and they simply only scratch the surface, and I would say intentionally so, because a lot of times, those who are composing those hymns in for the various religious bodies that are in the world today are not composing them for the purpose of teaching and admonishing one another. They're just composing them in order to make people feel good. And that's not something that we need. We need songs that will teach and admonish us and will help us to understand more about God and His holy word. And this song, This Is My Father's World, does a tremendous job in that. Well, this evening we talked about the purposes of God, and the purpose that God created everything for was for Jesus Christ to come into the world. And He came into this world and He lived a perfectly sinless life. And then He did the Father's will and offered Himself up as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Through that sacrifice, He then paid for the injustices of the world. And God now offers to us to take advantage of the sacrifice that Jesus made, so that we may have our sins forgiven. He does that by imploring us to hear His word and believe it. Repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and be baptized so that we may have our sins forgiven. And so this evening, if there is someone who would like to fulfill that great purpose of God in your life, we would be happy to assist you in so doing. And so whatever your need may be this evening, we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.